Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Alex May. Alex is a second-year student in our full-time MBA class of 2021, and he's also the vice president for Darden Cup. I recently connected with Alex via Zoom to talk a bit more about his background, what led him to Darden, and what's been going on with Darden Cup this year. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Alex May. Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, thank you for doing this. You are our first podcast conversation of the year. We're recording this in early 2021. Congratulations on being part of history. Thanks so much for taking time to be here.
Absolutely.
So this is going to be a chance for you to share a little bit more about your background and, you know, how you made your MBA decision. We're also going to talk about Darden Cup, which is always fun. It's come up a bunch here on the podcast, and who better to have on the podcast to talk about Darden Cup than the VP who leads all of this. So great to have you here. But before we get there, I want to check in and see how are you doing? How are things? How's your January going so far?
Yeah, well, it's going well. I mean, hard to believe that it is already January. I'm still in Indianapolis right now, which is home for me, but excited to get back to Charlottesville, heading out on Friday, so making the drive back, and excited to see everybody, but you know, trying to stay positive during this time. It's obviously been a crazy year, but you know, being with friends and family certainly helps that.
Well, Indianapolis will be the home of the NCAA tournament for this year. At least that's the word thus far. Exciting for your hometown.
That's right. Well, you opened a can of worms there. I'm a diehard college basketball fan, so hopefully we can get, you know, stick to Darden Cup and my NBA journey. But yeah, love college basketball. Big IU Indiana Hoosier fan, and it's pretty cool for the state of Indiana to be hosting.
Well, for those of us who are of a certain age, we watched Hoosiers as a kid, for example. It casts a pretty long shadow in the world of sports movies. So the Jimmy Chitwood and Hickory team and just basketball as religion in the state of Indiana. I'm from North Carolina, another place that takes college basketball pretty seriously. So before we go down a whole sort of rabbit hole, let's talk about you and your MBA journey. So how did you make the decision to pursue an MBA? Tell us a little bit more about your background before Darden, and just how you got to the decision, yeah, this is the right step for me.
Sure. Well, it goes back a ways, you know, for me. I come from a business, kind of a corporate finance background. Was also in Indianapolis before coming to Darden, graduated from Indiana University. And so, you know, the business school there. And, you know, even going back to my undergrad days, getting my MBA was just always on my radar. You know, I kind of knew that I wanted to make that jump, you know, what I always said, kind of from the analytical world that I was in into more of a managerial, you know, more strategic world. And obviously Darden, you know, was a great fit for me.
So I know there are a lot of programs out there that you could consider, and undoubtedly you considered other programs than Darden. How did you decide that Darden was the right fit? You mentioned that it was a great fit for you. What jumped out to you as you were making this decision?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think, you know, early on, I started to kind of narrow down to, you know, programs, honestly, that were, you know, similar to Darden in many ways. You know, I knew I didn't want to go to some, you know, big city kind of school. It's not exactly for me, but, you know, culture and community was such a big part of it kind of early on. You know, I love Charlottesville. I love that, you know, it's kind of a town that really tends to, you know, sort of evolve or revolve around the school in many ways. And that's a big part of kind of who I am. I love, you know, college campuses and that whole vibe. And so that was kind of, you know, initially the types of programs I was looking at, you know, and then obviously from an academic perspective, you know, there's no better place than Darden. And, you know, certainly I viewed the academic rigor as something I wanted to, you know, run towards as opposed to run away. You know, it was exciting to me to, you know, be working with the best faculty and some of the best students around. And then, you know, you can't mention Darden without mentioning the case method, obviously, which, you know, we obviously talk about it a lot, but it's because it's so important. And for me, kind of the simplistic way that I always talked about my MBA and what I wanted to get out of it was, I would kind of joke that I wanted to become a better storyteller. and honestly, in a lot of ways, it's, you know, Darden has prepared me to do that. And what I mean by that is really just, you know, we get in the habit of through all these cases that we go through of just, you know, coming up with that framework of how you, you know, you deal with big and ambiguous, you know, problems with limited information. And, you know, we just get so good at how you make decisions and recommendations from there. So yeah, can't speak highly enough about Darden.
So it's probably, you know, as you think about coming to a new place, starting an MBA program, there's always learning curves. And we spend a lot of time on the podcast talking about this adjustment to life as a business school student, as a Darden student. For you, what were some of the bigger adjustments, or what are some of the learning curves you experienced as you got started as a first year?
Yeah, well, you know, being a first year, it's such an exciting time. That, you know, the whole year as a whole, but especially those first few months and weeks is, you know, everything's new, right? You're in a new setting, new environment. You know, a lot of people are coming from different places, you know, all over the country and all over the world. And, it's just an exciting time. You know, the learning curve you're talking about, I mean, certainly, it is real. You know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I was fortunate to have come into Darden with that business background and, you know, so already had a pretty solid base that I was coming in with, but you know, that said, there's still quite a bit to learn. And I think the biggest thing for me is just, you know, from a time management perspective, you know, at Darden, in a lot of ways, I've been as busy as I've ever been, you know, but all in a good way, right? But it's a matter of, you know, early on, you're learning kind of the academic rigor that I talked about, and then you start throwing, you know, recruiting on top of that. And of course you've got a social life on top of it and want to keep meeting people and hanging out with your friends. And, so that's probably the biggest thing for me was just, you know, prioritizing and figuring out what's important to you. And that's going to be different for everybody.
That prioritization skill comes up quite a bit here, as you might imagine. And did you spend time before you started the program thinking about what was important to you as you came in, or is that something that you gradually figured out over the course of that first year?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think naturally, even just the process, the application process of getting into business school, you know, wherever you're looking, everybody always talks about, you know, there's a lot of reflection that goes into that, as I'm sure our listeners are, you know, very, very in tune with right now, but you know, it's a real thing. And so, I think definitely, again, both answer your question, a little bit coming in, but you know, it also, it does shift a little bit over time. Again, it's different for everybody, but, you know, for me, I came in, you know, understanding the value of recruiting and, you know, in a lot of ways we're here to get jobs, you know, after Darden, but, you know, I think everybody kind of opens their eyes to what that process looks like and just how it fits into to your, you know, your studies and everything else.
Is it hard to be patient with yourself when you're adjusting to something new? I think about the students who come to Darden and they've been so successful and they're so accomplished and bright, very capable people. And all of a sudden you're in this environment where you're having to figure all these things out simultaneously and prioritize relentlessly. You know, is it possible to get comfortable with that? Or is there, you know, does it take a while? How did you think about that learning curve?
You know, I think it's definitely possible. And it happens, you know, we all get there, but it absolutely does, you know, it takes a while. And that time period is different for everybody. But yeah, I mean, the imposter syndrome of when you show up, you know, for orientation or you show up, you know, that first week, it's real, right? And I think there's always a little bit of self-doubt, you know, in a good way, and that, you know, you're meeting, as you said, so many just impressive people with all these different backgrounds, and you know, it all sounds so cool, and you want to learn as much about other people as possible. You know, I think it's natural to kind of, you know, play the comparison game a little bit, but you know, pretty quickly you do realize, you know, no, you know, I'm here for a reason too, and you know, I'm just as qualified as everybody else, and so I don't say that to scare anybody, but yeah, it's absolutely something that I went through. And you know, you grow out of it, and now looking back, it's, yeah, you know, it's we're all here for a reason, and we're where we're supposed to be.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. I think it's important to name it and to say it and to say that this is something that students deal with and that they work through it. We always emphasize that if you're here, you are here, as you noted, for a reason. You've been chosen for this particular class. The admissions committee believes in your potential and your ability to contribute to the community and your classmates' learning experience. And, you know, it's important for people to remember that. There's, you know, it can be tough in those first few weeks, really kind of orienting to a new environment. You're meeting all these impressive people, but I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I think it's important to talk about it, and you do find your footing as you noted. So So now you're in a leadership role. The big storyline, it seems like, for second year students, you come out of the first year, and second year you're taking electives, and students are oftentimes taking on leadership roles. I'm curious, is this something that you came to Darden with express intention of doing? Is it something that, you know, sort of you realized over time that you wanted to be engaged with? I'm curious about how you said, you know, I'd really like to be involved with the DSA and I'd like to lead Darden Cup.
Yeah, you know, so coming into Darden, absolutely knew that I'd want to be in some sort of leadership role. But admittedly, you know, I was pretty open-ended on that front. But just kind of looking at, you know, my past and in both extracurricular involvements and you know, professional life and everything, it just, you know, I've naturally gravitated to two roles like the one I'm in now. And it's funny, I was actually on a phone interview call for some of my own personal recruiting earlier today and got asked the question of, you know, why are you interested in leadership? And it's just kind of interesting that I hadn't really thought about it all that much. It's just something that, you know, I, again, naturally am interested in. But obviously, you know, once you're here at Darden, there's so many opportunities of different ways to get involved. And you're right, second year kind of is the time when you really start to fill those roles. But just kind of a matter of first year, you know, being a part of different clubs and seeing what you're interested in and what's a good fit. And then, yeah, for me, that naturally led me to Darden Cup, which is something I'm really passionate about.
All right. So tell us your exact role with the DSA. So my understanding of it is you're essentially the vice president in charge of Darden Cup, but I want to make sure I capture the full essence of exactly your responsibilities.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So everybody on DSA, the Darden Student Association, is assigned a particular role as a VP of something. In my case, I was elected to the role of a VP of Darden Cup. And so Darden Cup, I guess I should say first, the way that we're structured, you know, here at Darden, as probably a lot of our listeners know, is that during your first year, you're broken out into one of five different sections, which is then your section for life, right? So I'm a proud member of Section E. And Darden Cup then is a year long, basically, you know, competition between those five different sections. We'll probably get into it a little bit later. Obviously it's shifted a little bit here with COVID, but, in the past it's typically a combination of different athletic events, you know, big sports, soccer, football, basketball, you know, others. But then also non-athletic events. We had a talent show, we have a trivia competition, and I've done a lot of new and creative things this year, but yeah, a year-long competition between those five sections.
So it's something that's come up quite a bit on the podcast, as you might imagine, when people talk about the first year experience and just talk about, you know, how people build these kind of connections with their classmates. Darden Cup does help provide that kind of social anchor. You're doing things, you're staying active, you're staying busy. How do folks come up with the competitions that are going to be featured in a given year? Is this a democratic process? Is it the same every year? I'm kind of curious about how you arrive at these are the competitions that we're going to host.
Yeah, well, it's certainly evolved over the years through exactly, like you said, a combination of kind of, really the person who, you know, is in my role of the VP of Darden Cup certainly takes the lead. But I work very closely with each section of first years has a number of different, you know, elected positions, one of them being the Darden Cup representative for their first year section. And so I work with the five representatives collectively, especially this year, again, as the competitions have changed quite a bit, you know, due to different state and university regulations. We've had to adapt some things, but it's absolutely a combination between a collaborative process, which then, you know, ultimately I do have the final say, but, you know, you're not doing it right if you're not, you know, coming up with events and putting on events that everybody can get behind.
So we've had some DSA folks on the podcast this year, and they emphasize that DSA's mission for this year was really to ensure that all students feel included and loved, and they feel the sense of belonging at Darden. How do you feel that Darden Cup fits into that goal?
Well, I think it fits in, you know, really, really strongly. And it's really one of the biggest reasons that I got involved with Darden Cup in the first place. And really that's because when I look at Darden Cup, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there's tons of opportunities for people to get involved, but you know, to various degrees, right? So Darden Cup is one of the few opportunities at Darden that nearly all of the student body and faculty even, you know, kind of rally behind. Again, there's just that section pride aspect of it. You know, a lot of different things, you know, obviously fun events that we put on, but, you know, I knew I wanted to do something that is part of that Darden identity and that Darden culture. And Darden Cup is really a big part of that. And certainly has been a priority, you know, along with other of our DSA initiatives this year.
All right. So let's talk about, the thing that's likely on all of our listeners' minds as they're listening to this. How has COVID affected, the planning that you've been doing, the events that you've been able to offer? You mentioned evolving guidelines from the university. We've talked about it a bit here on the podcast with Zakiya Pierre and other student leaders, the group size, that's permitted for social interaction. So 15 at one point down to 5, 10. So, you know, obviously the guidelines continue to evolve as COVID evolves, but that must make your job tough.
Well, you know, it certainly does, and obviously COVID is kind of the elephant in the room for a lot of us, right? It's something that's here, and we got to make the most of it. So, you know, yes, it's absolutely changed some of the Darden Cup plans. You know, I joke with my predecessor, so most of the clubs at Darden have pretty robust, you know, we call them playbooks that we hand over from one person to, you know, to the successor. And I joked with Grace, you know, my predecessor who graduated last year, that there was nothing in that playbook that, you know, said anything about a global pandemic, right? And so instead of basically having a book of, hey, here are all the events and go execute it, you know, it's having to become a lot more creative and come up with events within the rules. But I think we've done a good job of it. You know, our team with all of DSA, as well as, you know, kind of my first year Darden Cup representatives. The biggest thing is that we really wanted to make sure that, you know, we were providing a lot of different options, you know, for as many people as possible. And so even in a non-COVID year, the idea of Darden Cup is that traditionally we've had right around 9 or so events per year. And when we look at Darden Cup, we want to be able to look at the entire list of events and have people, you know, first years, second years, faculty, be able to point to at least one of those events and say, that's an event for me. You know, that's something that I get really excited about that I'd see myself getting involved in. You know, hopefully that number is a whole lot more than one. You know, people are interested in most of the events, but we also realize too that not everybody is going to be interested in every single event. And I think that was especially important this year, you know, especially as, you know, there were a lot of the questions around safety and everything along those lines. You know, basically we tried to have a combination of in-person events, you know, while we could, and to do them in a safe manner, obviously in compliance with UVA guidelines. But then also, you know, for the first time, we really introduced virtual options, you know, trying to, you know, not totally fall into the Zoom fatigue that I know a lot of us are dealing with, but honestly, it's been a good way to add some creative events that, you know, we wouldn't have had before. So even going back to last year in the spring, you know, kind of Q4 of Darden when COVID really hit, we introduced what we called the Strava workout challenge, a virtual workout challenge for the first time. You know, many people are maybe familiar with the Strava app, but it's basically just a way to record your workouts. And we found that was a great opportunity to get people outside, you know, as long as they're kind of, you know, on their own or within small groups, to be able to do that and still be a part of the Darden Cup process. That event was so successful that it was really then the first event that we did in this academic year. And then a number of other things too. So I mentioned the virtual piece. We added a virtual escape room this year, which was pretty cool. We were working with a third party that, you know, frankly, it works exactly like any escape room that you've done in person, but it's just, it's online and, you know, we layered a Zoom on top of it. And I think that was another a fan favorite. So, you know, really adding new events and just being creative and going back to that listening campaign that you talked about earlier of really getting a good sense of what people might be interested in and, you know, learning as we're going.
What have you been able to do in person? So I appreciate all the creativity around finding ways for people to participate virtually or in virtual competitions, but it sounds like you still found some ways for people to be able to be in person if they were comfortable doing so. What has that looked like this year?
That's right. And you know, we wanted to certainly do in-person events when we could. And a couple of them, I think, were some of the biggest fan favorites of the fall, at least. The first one that we did was we did a big relay race. We called it the Ultimate Relay Race. And really, the impetus for that was we wanted to do something in person and, again, comply within the guidelines. And so at the time, you know, we were at that 10-person limit, like you mentioned. And so, you know, we realized, well, hey, what if we did a bunch of kind of mini 10-person events, but did it in a relay race fashion where we had a bunch of different stages. And then, you know, there was one person from each section. So five people, you know, that person would finish stage one and they'd kind of run over to stage two. And, you know, there was no physical handoff, but, you know, there were demarcations that you knew when one stage started and one ended. I think we had 45 different stages. We had about 200 different competitors. And we did it all across grounds or North grounds. And so, you know, again, just kind of a creative way to get people outside. And, you know, the neat thing about that event was it really had that energy, that is typical of Darden Cup events. You know, it's not quite the hundreds and hundreds of people that we might've gotten last year and in years past, but, that's what I mean of making the most with what we've got. So that was a hugely successful event. And then another one that was a lot of fun was, we created, it was really another series of events, but it was Darden Cup Golf. And so we had a big 100-person golf outing as part of the event, you know, with the idea being, hey, you know, what outdoor sporting event is better for physical distancing than golf? You know, you're out there, there's a lot of spaces, a lot of open space. But then we also, again, wanted to make sure that Darden Cup is very inclusive and something that anybody can get involved in. We also layered on a miniature golf component, a little putt-putt competition as well. People were actually able to go to a local putt-putt course, basically play free and unlimited for the entire week. So that was a ton of fun. And then we also layered on a frisbee golf or a disc golf component to it as well. So those are just a couple examples of the in-person events that we were able to do.
Nice. My dad and I played frisbee golf this summer. Naturally, it is a socially distanced sport, so you can get out there and do it. I did not think about putt-putt, but golf has experienced something of a renaissance in the midst of all of this. If you watch the PGA Championship this summer, lots of emphasis on it being a safe sport that is naturally socially distant. So it sounds like maybe the Darden Cup seizing on these kinds of things. Any consideration around tennis or other games like that?
You know, we've definitely considered it, you know, really any racket sport. We've thought about, you know, something like volleyball too. I think the trick with Darden Cup is, you know, those are great events and people would have a ton of fun. You know, scaling it is a bit of the question, right? And so again, we want to make sure that, you know, as many people as possible are able to participate. And so it's definitely still kind of on the back burner, something we're considering kind of noodling over. But we'll see how the spring shapes up.
Yeah, I'm curious about, I mean, it's early days. I'm sure you're just getting organized and planning, and I know all of this is in the works. It sounds like so some of the big principles are including as many people as possible, you know, listening. What's on your mind as you plan for the spring?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I'm excited about, you know, some opportunities that, and even that are similar with prior years. Based on some of the feedback that we've gotten from the university and, you know, assuming kind of the current rules stay in place, you know, I'm optimistic that we'll be able to do things like an ongoing soccer league, you know, for example. Soccer is traditionally a Darden Cup sport. And in the past, you know, it's been held all on one day with kind of the whole school, you know, kind of congregating together, which, you know, that's kind of out of the question. But I think there's still a huge opportunity to take the same concept, but just spread it out over a number of weeks. And so, you know, we're still kind of working through the details, the logistics of how exactly to make that work. But, you know, the idea is we'll send out a schedule just like we would have in a normal year. And basically it'll be, you know, a couple sections, do some pickup game. You know, we won't have referees or anything, but, you know, obviously honor code's been a big part of Darden and UVA. And, but yeah, so, and then, you know, culminate it in some sort of playoffs or championship. So I'm excited about that event. There's another kind of a hybrid of an in-person and virtual event. Esports is something that even, again, pre-COVID, we've kind of been considering for a while. You know, what's a better time than now? And I think that's another one that a lot of people are excited about. So kind of have two different ideas in mind for that particular event. One, doing a FIFA soccer tournament, and then also doing some sort of Mario Kart that, again, can is a little bit, you know, more for the mainstream and anybody can get behind. And so I think between those two, you know, people are really excited about that, and then kind of keep filling in other events as we can.
So it sounds like things are well underway in terms of planning for Darden Cup for the spring. I'm wondering what you're looking forward to just personally in the months ahead. I mean, graduation will be here before you know it. You got about 5 months until May.
That's right. Well, again, it's sneaking up on all of us, but like I said, heading back to Charlottesville on Friday and, you know, excited to get back and just be with everybody. You know, really excited about these Darden Cup events. Obviously, it's a lot of work to plan them, but, you know, it, again, it's such a huge part of the Darden experience. And, you know, it's nice to see that people, you know, appreciate them as much as they do. And it's nice to kind of be a small part of making that happen. But yeah, just a combination of excited to get back, excited to see everybody. You know, before too long, the days will start getting warmer. And obviously, Charlottesville in the spring is a beautiful place. So just going to try to make the most of the few months that we have left.
Are there any classes that you're taking that you're excited about? I always like to ask about electives because I learn something new every time I ask this question.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm kind of a dual interest. I mean, obviously, you know, going the MBA route and, you know, business is the primary, you know, passion, but I'm also pretty interested in kind of the government or politics side of the equation. And so there's a business and government relations class that I'm pretty excited about coming up this semester. There's a neat program, more of a kind of a UVA class, but it's actually not even a class. It's more of a thing on the side that I've been doing, but it's called the Tri-Sector Program. And it's a combination between Darden, the law school, and the public policy school, and a total of 24 students from the three of those. And so, just a neat way for me personally to get exposure to some of the other, you know, graduate schools at UVA, and, you know, expand just beyond business. But obviously very excited about, you know, all of my Darden classes as well. But those are a couple that stand out.
What got you thinking about the political path? Is that something that's always interested you, or is that a recent development?
You know, it's interesting. I've had somewhat of an opportunity to get involved in the past, back in Indiana, actually had a chance in my old role to be a part of the governor's transition team for the State Department of Health. I came from a healthcare provider background too, so got plugged in there. And so it's just something that I kind of dabbled in the past, and but, you know, very much have an interest in it. I'm kind of a history nerd as well, and am currently in the process of reading a biography on every U.S. president in order. which has just been a fun project on the side, but yeah, definitely an interest, and you know, might even be crazy enough to run for office someday for something. Who knows?
Well, I have to ask you, where are you in the presidential biography list right now?
That's right. Well, it's kind of funny because he's almost one of the running jokes of U.S. presidents, because nobody really knows that much about him. But I'm currently finishing up Millard Fillmore of all people. So Abraham Lincoln is in sight. He's just a few away. But, you know, it's fun. It's just it's a neat way to learn a lot about people, which is something that I'm really interested in, just learning about people and different lives and perspectives. And it's fun, too, to you know, learn a little thing or two about a man who, you know, a lot of people don't know anything about. So I enjoy it.
Yeah, I would say if we have any Millard Fillmore questions come up here on the podcast, we know who to ask, Alex.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll come to you.
Send them my way.
So I have to ask, how do you pick the book? I mean, Lincoln, there's so many. And I mean, Carl Sandburg has like a whole like multi-volume Lincoln Lincoln biography set. So how do you pick the book?
You know, that's a good question. I get that question a lot. And actually, there's... you know, leave it to the internet, right? There's always something out there. There's a guy out there who has a blog, and I think he's like an investment banker or something. So I don't know how he has the time to read all these biographies, but he's actually kind of one-upping even what I'm doing. And he's basically reading every single biography he can find on a president before he moves on to the next president. And then, you know, has all these reviews for him and everything. And so I've been following him, just whatever he, you know, reviews is kind of his highest rated. And he hasn't strayed me wrong yet, but yeah, I don't know how how he does it. There's hundreds and hundreds of books that he's read.
Wow. That is a lot of questions I have there, but we'll keep moving forward. Do you like the podcast Presidential from Washington Post? Do you ever listen to that? It's all about, well, presidents.
I have. And it's funny you say that because actually, you know, going back to, you know, the early days of Darden back in my first year, one of my Section E classmates actually tipped me off to the podcast. And so that's been one of my go-tos as I'm driving, you know, to and from Darden from Indianapolis.
I imagine a few podcasts could fill up that time. So get a few hours on the road there.
That's right. Absolutely. I'm working my way through them just like the books.
So I'm curious, we ask the same sort of last question of everybody that comes on the podcast. What's your why Darden pitch for prospective students? When you talk with folks and they say, you know, really, why should I choose Darden? What do you share with them?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you know, the people, the culture here at Darden, I'm sure it's something that comes up quite a bit. And frankly, you know, a lot of schools will make that same pitch. But, you know, I just found that there was nowhere else like Darden that really made me feel, you know, as comfortable and made me feel as at home, you know, as Darden. I mean, just current students, professors, alumni, that was my case, you know, coming into Darden, and it's been my experience, you know, here at Darden. And I think that, you know, even just, you know, among my classmates too, I mean, you can just see that dedication to then also paying it forward, you know, and we're doing the same for prospective students right now and the prospective students that will continue to come, you know, for years and years. And, you know, I love Darden so much. It's been such a great experience for me, and, you know, cannot recommend it highly enough.
All right, Alex, this is a question that's undoubtedly been on everybody's mind since we started here. It's March. NCAA tournament is underway, and UVA's men's basketball team has drawn Indiana. Let's just imagine in the Sweet 16. Who do you pull for?
You know, the loyalties have to be with the undergrad. They always have to be. I will say that UVA has become my second team. Which, you know, means quite a bit. If I see a UVA game on, well, I actually will go out of my way to watch them and root them on, but can't quite go against the old alum, the old alma mater.
Understood. And, well, if you're a Pacers fan, you get to watch Malcolm Brogdon, most evenings. So of course he's a big name from UVA men's basketball teams past, and, is having a great NBA career, as a number of UVA grads are. Joe Harris, Brooklyn Nets, DeAndre Hunter, the Atlanta Hawks, the list goes on. So, well, thank you so much, Alex. It's been such a pleasure talking with you. Great to learn more about Darden Cup. One of the best things about hosting the podcast is I always learn new things. So I had all sorts of questions about Darden Cup, what was happening right now, what you're able to do, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, and I learned a lot. I think I could probably say the same for our listeners. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, that's great to hear, and you know, love being able to jump on and talk through this with prospective students. And please, you know, don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions and want to learn more about Darden or Darden Cup. Be happy to talk.
And that was my interview with Alex May, a second year student in our full time MBA class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We could be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.